Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Angela to the show, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, empowerment, wealth, and much, much more. So just a quick introduction to Angela to the show today. So Angela went from Section 8 housing and welfare to serial entrepreneur and is a woman who has defied the odds and conquered a childhood of abuse and poverty. Angela is a force in personal finance with over 25 years experience and a heart for empowering women who want to take their lives to the next level. Angela has a diverse career in banking, financial advising, owning a top 10 RE Max office for 5 straight years with over $2 billion in sales and establishing and selling an insurance agency. Well, welcome to the show today, Angela. It's great to have you here today. And really looking forward to this conversation. So yeah, first of all, be really interesting to know a little bit about you've gone through a journey, it sounds like, and doing some great things. And it's really inspirational to hear like what you're doing with you know, the money and helping people and everything. It sounds for you like there was maybe some times when it wasn't so, it was very different, right? And then for some people out there, you know, sometimes we have difficult times and we, you know, some people just tolerate it. Some of us want to make a change. It sounds like you wanted to make a change and you made that transformation. And I'm a believer, we're always making transformation. It's never ending, right? For you, what was the, was there like a defining moment? Was there a key driver for you to really go out there and make a transformation in your life?
Yeah, for me, growing up in poverty, I didn't know what money was. And I just knew that we didn't have it. And so when I was 18, I moved out of my home and I went to college and I studied money because I always thought that if I had more money, then perhaps I could have a different lifestyle. And so I think that early on in my career, I was always running away from poverty instead of running towards abundance. And that's a huge difference, especially when it comes to your mindset. I had a very poverty mindset early on. And so I was always looking at, you know, how can I cut costs? How can I cut my expenses instead of thinking about how could I create more income? And so that has been a long journey for me. And I know that I will forever be on that journey, you know, making sure that my mindset stays in abundance instead of having that fear of not having money. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, I love what you said about like not running away from poverty, focusing on creating abundance. Yeah, and that really hit home for me, like not that scarcity, because it's like I've been guilty of that many times in my life, not just money wise, but like the negative emotions to the positive emotions. Well, I don't want to feel like that, but I want to feel like that, right? So yeah, definitely resonate with that. Angela, so you've touched on like abundance there a little bit. Could we get like quite a lot of people I've spoken to, and I've experienced this myself, get very fearful around like the concept of money, or if we get it, like we get fearful about losing it sometimes. Is there a way that you've dealt with that fear to kind of focus more on the abundance?
Yeah. So I really had to think that I was worthy. I think when you come up in a childhood of poverty and having that scarcity and being nervous about not having money because you remember the pain that it felt like as a child not having money, you know, having kids make fun of me because I didn't have new clothes, or getting free lunch at school because we qualified for having that as a low-income family. So really thinking about changing the way that I looked at myself, the way that I valued myself, and I had to change the way that I thought about myself, meaning that I deserve to have more. I deserve to be abundant, and really thinking about that and using very strong words to help change the way that I perceived my life and who I was and what I could actually accomplish in life. And it doesn't happen overnight. And for me, I'm very, very much in control in my exterior environment. So meaning, you know, everything from waking up in the morning and not hopping on social media. I don't check my email in the morning. I go outside. I live in Miami, so I'm fortunate to have beautiful weather most of the year. But I go outside with my journal and I just write down some key goals, but also things that I'm grateful for. You know, having the opportunity to have met so many people in life, I understand that where I am today, I am grateful. I'm grateful that I have a house that I can live in. I'm grateful that I have a credit card that I can use and pay off every month. So just kind of looking at the smaller things in life and understanding that not everyone has the same environment that I can live in today, and just being grateful for a lot of things, I think that helps me in controlling that mindset and thinking about abundance instead of having that fear. Really does start with gratitude. And I have to look at it internally first to give myself permission to live an abundant lifestyle. Because I really think that if you don't give yourself permission and think that you're worthy of it, then you're never going to achieve financial success in your life because you don't think that you deserve it.
Sounds like you do quite a lot of internal work to start your day. Would that be an accurate way of putting it, or maybe
yep,
not?
Absolutely. Every day, that's how I start. And I do the same at the end of the day, because the way that I look at it, if I can control two things, it's my start and my end to my day. You know, as you know, when you work, you can't always control what happens during the day, especially when you run companies, right? But the start of my day, when I wake up, give yourself 5 minutes, take care of yourself first and start your day on a positive gratitude attitude. And then you find that when things happen during the day, for me, when I changed and shifted the way that I started my day, when something happens during the day, I don't feel as stressed. I don't get as scared. I don't think about things in that manner because I was able to control the start of my day. I'm very much the same at the end of my day. I don't subscribe to any streaming services. I don't watch TV. I don't watch the news. And so the end of my day, I want to create a positive environment for myself as well. And again, it's only 5 minutes, right? Take 5 minutes in the beginning, 5 minutes at the end. What I do at the end, maybe this is can be where you do your gratitude journal if you don't want to do it in the morning, but I go on YouTube, which is free, and I watch funny videos because I want to laugh. I want to end my day on a positive note, and it's something that I can control. So when you go to bed happy and you wake up happy, it just makes it much easier to deal with all of the ups and downs that come, you know, throughout the day, whether it's your business, your job, your family. It really does just help me set the tone every day.
I love that idea. I sometimes find myself like looking at funny. There's a particular comedian. It's actually a British comedian that I find quite funny. It always makes me laugh, even when it's a tougher day. So I love that, like sending yourself to sleep and that.
Mm-hmm.
That kind
instead
of
being so stressed when you go to bed, because then you don't get good sleep, right? And then your brain doesn't function properly when you don't have enough sleep. So taking care of yourself first, you have to do that, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not really able to help everybody that is around you.
Like that, like the kind of the positive vibe going in to then start the next day on that it's going into your sleep. I like that. So yeah, Angela, I'm just curious. You obviously you started studying money, you mentioned, and then really looking actually, and then start creating like looking at more abundance than running away from poverty. Was there anyone that was like key in your learning that you like studied from in particular? Was it like a variety of books? I'd just be really interested to hear if there was a particular role model or someone who inspired you in that time.
Yeah, I think there have been several. I always have mentors or coaches in my life because I know that I want to continue and be a better version of myself. So early on, when I graduated college, I went into the financial industry and I had two amazing women that took me under their wing. They were my mentors. I would ask them questions, but I also wanted to give back. So, you know, I worked with them, I helped them in their business, but I learned so much from them and how they treat their clients, how they approach business. You know, when you're in any type of sales role, or actually any role at all, everyone is a salesperson, you want to make sure that your clients know that you care about them. And so asking a lot of questions about, you know, what their goals are, what are their intentions, what do they hope to accomplish? and then figuring out how I can help them. And when you come from that servitude heart center first, I think it just goes so much further with people in life. And that's, again, partly why I control what happens in my environment, because nobody wants to deal with a negative salesperson. If I can teach you that I'm here to help you and I have a positive attitude about it, then you're more likely to trust me and to agree to work with me when I have that approach. So that was one of my early on mentors. I read books all the time, and I'm a big fan for myself. I know I still struggle with the mindset piece. So it's something that I work on all the time. And it's something that I'm going to work on forever. It's not like I just did it once and then it's done. For me, I always work on it. So I listen to podcasts. Tony Robbins is huge for me. I love what he teaches. He really challenges you to kind of think outside the box a little bit. And so I've been listening to him probably 20 plus years, but I do read a lot of finance books. I do have a podcast now. I have a podcast coach that helps keep me inspired. And then just making sure that the people I choose to have in my inner circle of life is people that are uplifting, that also have positive attitudes, that have success in their own fields, and also figuring out ways, constantly asking them, you know, what can I help you with? What are you struggling with right now? Because the more that I can help someone else, the better I feel and the more that I learn as well.
Always learning and ever, ever learning like myself. It's never an ending journey. With your studying, like going like the psychology, the mindset, was it a combination of when you were really trying to get into money, perhaps in the early days, or look into it? Were you looking at both the strategy and the mindset behind it? Is that right?
Early on, I didn't think it was mindset. I never thought I had a mindset issue. I just thought if I can get around people more successful than me, that hopefully something would happen in my life where I could be more successful. And I had no idea what that even meant. I just knew I didn't want to be poor. I wanted to pay my bills. I didn't want to be in debt. I want to make sure there's food, because I can remember times as a kid where we had to go get food from a charity. I never wanted to have that pain. So very early on, I didn't think it was a mindset issue. I just thought I needed more money. And it wasn't until probably into my 20s, maybe when my daughter was born, that I realized that I had to change my way of thinking in order for me to grow.
It's very interesting when I hear different people's perspective on when they're like, oh yeah, I realized how much kind of work I needed on my mindset or my psychology. It's intriguing to hear. So yeah, just like surrounding yourself with different people for the strategy, and then you started working. And I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins as well. Fortunately, got to quite a lot of his events. So always a good person to have in your ear.
Yeah, he lives in Florida too, so it's nice because then I can go to a lot of his events in person because he's right here.
Yeah. I've only been to UPW in the UK last year. The rest were virtual, but that's going to be a blessing. No, that's cool. Not too far away. Yeah, I want to touch a little bit on, which kind of links to that with like the, you know, the Tony events, but you surrounding yourself with these right people. It's always a question I'm keen to ask people, because I know for me it's had an impact, and it may or may not for you, but what do you feel have you found that investing yourself as being powerful or not so powerful? Yeah, just always intrigued to hear like a view on investing in yourself, particularly in the finance space.
Absolutely. The book that I wrote last year, Empower Your Money, the number one piece of advice I have is invest in yourself. So whether that is, you know, taking that 5 minutes during the day, that's investing in yourself, because that's a health for you, right? But also, I don't listen to the news or watch, you know, a whole lot of TV. So I'm absorbing a lot of podcasts or a lot of motivational videos, or if I'm wanting to learn about a specific topic. I launched a tax lien fund that we're working on here in the US. And so I really wanted to dive deep into learning about tax liens. So I'm always investing in my education, and it changes quite often. But I mean, there's just so much free information available out there. So why are we not taking the time to go seek the information and not only absorb it, but you have to take action on it? Because what's the point? Why are you absorbing the information if you're not putting it into action into your life? You're not going to create abundance in your life. You're not going to change your mindset in your life if you're not taking action on what you are learning too.
Yeah, what was the, I think it was from Think and Grow Rich, the phrase went, knowledge is not, and that's, you know, 1920s, I want to say, like book. I think it was then, read it a few times, but yeah, still not probably embedded in my system as much as I like it to be. It's one of those things that I know Bob Proctor spent 40 years reading it. But yeah, there's a line in it, which was knowledge. And it really, when I started implementing it, it made sense. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge is potential. Well, that's what Tony says as well. Potential power only becomes power when you actually implement it, right?
So. Right. Yeah. And it's not just about mindset. Tony Robbins says, you know, I can wish to go to the gym and lift, you know, 1,000 pounds, but unless I train my mind and train my body to do it, I'm not going to accomplish it. So it's not just about what you're thinking, but taking the action in order to get to where you want to be. If you want to be a more positive person, think about what is in your life right now that is negative, and how can you turn the volume down on that information and go somewhere else and turn up the volume on something that's more positive. And that's a huge thing with money too, because if you don't think that you deserve money, then it'll never really appear in your life. And you will always keep going through this cycle and this struggle with money because you haven't worked on your mindset first.
I like the focus on the mindset. It's always been essential for me, especially. I love that. So yeah, I guess you're quite busy, you know, you're quite a busy individual, you know, you've done quite a lot of these things. A lot of the times I've heard this, and when I've coached people in the past, it's like, but I just don't have the time to, you know, work on what I want to, or being able to really take action on that thing or whatever it is. For you, like, how do you find managing your time? And is there an effective way you find it? Because you obviously find some time in the morning and evening. Do you sort of like map your weeks out? Sounds like you've got a lot going on.
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, I challenge people, if we're in person or on a Zoom, I say, grab your phone and we're going to go look at how much time you're spending on each of these applications, right? Yeah. For me, it could be Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and I'm having you write that down, because when you make it a visual, it's in your face, and there's no denying that you spend an average of, you know, an hour and a half on Instagram or TikTok. Well, let's turn that off or delete the app. Doesn't mean you have to delete your account, delete the app. And now we're going to repurpose that time on something that's more beneficial for you and for your mind. And so when people say, I don't have enough time. So if they're not, you know, on their phones, then another example is, we'll take just the note function on your phone. And every day I want you to take time management. What are you doing? At what time? How long is it taking you? And you'll see that you have so many minutes during your day that you're wasting on silly stuff that you don't really realize until you actually track it. So you have to become self-aware first of what you're doing in order to change that activity or change that habit into something that's going to be more productive for you.
Yeah, the awareness sounds like an essential one that you get people to do. Do you sort of play that with money as well? I'm just interested how much people are spending on things.
Absolutely. So many people never look at their bank statements. They don't look at their credit card statements, especially people who are in debt. They're afraid to look at the credit card. So a challenge that I do with people when I do my speaking events is to print out 3 months of bank statements and credit card statements and actually sit down in quiet and look at them. And then an activity that's really good too is taking out a pen or some highlighters and highlighting, what are you spending money on that maybe you can cut out of your life? Even if you just do it for 90 days, see if you really need that expense. And, you know, we've got so many apps and subscriptions that we can buy just at a, you know, the touch of your fingers on your phone, that a lot of times people forget what they buy and they don't look at their statements. So they're being charged for it over and over again for something that they don't even use, or that they could stop spending time on that to give back time to their family or to their education or to their business. And really, when you are, we go back to the awareness, right? There, it's impossible for you to change any habits in your life without being aware. So if you want more money in your life, then we need to become aware of what you're doing with it now, and then figure out ways to either create more income or cut out expenses that you don't need.
Yeah, the 3 months of the credit card, I know me in my early 20s would have been like looking at it and going, oh, it's again. Like, to be fair, I do always look at my card, but it'd just be like that spontaneous spree of, you know, I was early 20s, I was having, you know, it's fun at the same time. But yeah, just looking at that credit, you just scare me. Like, I'd be like, oh my God. It's terrifying. Yeah, but sometimes.
Then you look at it though, does that serve your current goals? Is that what you want to be spending money on? Is your goal to, you know, flush your money down the toilet? What is it that's important to you? Stop spending money on stuff that's not important to you because it's not helping you to achieve your goals.
Yeah, it's like I've heard like, it's with the time thing. In my view, it's I don't have time. It's like sometimes you know you don't legitimately have like the time or money. Like someone's going to offer me something for $1 million tomorrow, you know, I'm not going to realistically have it. But sometimes I find with money, it's a case of being more resourceful. Or actually, I've been wasting it over here, so therefore, you know, I've become more aware of this in the last 2 years in particular. And being able to develop more of it. But yeah, it used to be like, actually, I didn't have it. Or actually, I just spent like 500 quid on rubbish. It's like, did I really not have it? So yeah. But I appreciate sometimes you genuinely don't. But yeah, I love the awareness that you're bringing back to time and money in this sense. And one term that's thrown about a lot is financial like self-sabotage, right? It may link to some of the things we've already talked about, but do you find awareness has a role in that? Does that help with self-sabotage? Just wondering, because quite a lot of people do it. We hear that we won the classic $1 million in the lottery and then lost it. You hear those kind of stories. Yeah, I just wondered if you'd looked into that area much at all.
Yeah, for me personally, this was pretty big because not having money as a kid, not having clothes as a kid, I found early on that I was buying lots of clothes, lots of shoes, and it felt great in the moment because I could afford to buy it, but it was also a waste of money for me. Like, I didn't need more clothes. I didn't need more shoes. And so once I became aware of why I was sabotaging my own budget by spending too much money on something I really didn't need and where it was coming from, that awareness for me was able to allow me to, one, put it in my budget. So I do have a budget for shoes because I do enjoy buying shoes, but it doesn't need to be so consuming of my budget, and I need to stay in control of it. Because if I'm spending too much on that, then I'm taking away from my other goals. So when you're self-sabotaging, there's usually a reason behind it. There's some type of experience in your past. Something happened to you that now you're triggering that self-sabotage because you don't feel either you're worthy or you're scared of something. And for me, it was just remembering as a kid, you know, being made fun of for having old clothes or ugly clothes because it couldn't afford the brand names. Now that I can, it doesn't make me a better person. It doesn't make me feel better, but understanding that I still enjoy it and I limit it. So it's part of my budget. I know what I spend on those extra personal items. And it does help a little bit to really think about why. Why am I doing this? Because that way I'm understanding myself more, and then I can grow and become a better version of myself by understanding the why behind that self-sabotage, whatever that is, could be for you too.
Sounds like it's a bit of a, like, the awareness, like budgeting, but not, you know, being too strict on yourself, but actually knowing when to cut back a little bit, and then asking the why and diving into the self-awareness piece again, which is awesome. Love that.
Right. Don't punish yourself. If it's something that you enjoy, just limit it, bring it down a little bit, still have it within your budget. But if you take it out completely, it might feel like a punishment, which is more of a negative, and we're not going to stick to a negative. So instead, I replace that and say, okay, I understand I like to buy shoes. It is in my budget. I'm giving myself grace to do so, but I'm also keeping it in line and controlling it so that I know I've got bigger goals in front of me. So that doesn't serve my goal, then I'm going to just kind of keep it as a small piece in my budget.
Mm. brilliant. It sounds like a great compromise with yourself. Yeah. The self-management. Love that. Yeah. And I was always trying to work that in a little bit more. It's buying coffee to me. It's like, they add up. So, yeah. But it's nice to get one now and then. So it's all good. But shoes, yeah. No, I can see that. There's many people I know can relate to the shoe thing as well. So it's a good example. So, yeah, Angela, this is a question I like to ask guests of the podcast. But if you were to, it might be something we've talked about already, but if you were to give your number one confidence tip today to the listener, what would it be?
Yeah, it's definitely invest in yourself first. Whatever it is that you're currently struggling with, it could be your health. Maybe you're not as healthy or you're not in the best shape. If it's your money, you know, spend the time to take some education. And whether those are webinars or seeking mentors or coaches, find whatever it is in your life right now that you're probably most unhappy about and focus there. Take the time to focus, even if it's just a small amount of time that you can give back to yourself, because we don't want to live life unhappy. And the only way for you to really work on that is to change and take that action and block the time so that you know that you deserve better. If I want to be healthier, I deserve to be healthier, but I truly have to take the time and seek out the right information, invest in that time and education for myself, and implement it and really stick to it. Because if you don't keep it in your routine, it doesn't become a habit, which means you're not going to be able to change your attitude or your health or your money mindset without sticking to it and making it a habit so that it becomes a lifelong journey instead of something that you're just doing right now for a little bit of time.
Big fan of habits as well. So yeah, consistently putting little things in place. Big advocate for spending, you know, well, investing in yourself and being able to do that to ultimately build your happiness. And in that area, like you said, if you're unhappy in an area, do yourself the gift and give yourself what you need. So it's a great one to end on, Angela. So yeah, Angela, where can we find more from you? Where can a listener reach out to you if they want to find out more about your work or get in touch?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube as Empower Her Money. And if you follow me on Instagram and message me quiz, I have a free money quiz to figure out who you are when it comes to money. It's a fun quiz for people to take, and it really just gives you some insight about yourself. So message me quiz on Instagram, and I'll make sure you get that quiz.
Oh, brilliant. Love it. That's great. No, Angela, thank you so much for everything you've shared today. Really appreciate your time and the value you've given us today. So thank you.
Thank you, Johnny.
So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.